Welcome to Help and Hope, a podcast of CCEF.
Hi, this is Alistair Groves, here with our special series on Help and Hope called In the Counseling Room, where we're trying to give pastors and counselors just a closer look at the counseling that we find ourselves doing at CCF and trying to find ways to help just take Scripture and take the troubles of life and bring them into contact. Today, we're in the counseling room with Ed Welch. Ed, how's your counseling going?
That's a great question. It is invigorating as I see the work of the Spirit in people's lives. It's even more invigorating sometimes when I see the work in the Spirit's lives and I have a sense that I didn't have much to do with it. I'm just sort of watching it. And it's really hard when I see people stuck. But at the same time, there's something good and right about feeling that hardness along with them. So of all the things I do, I think counseling is what I appreciate and enjoy doing the most.
Well, that's a good thing to be able to do day in and day out.
It certainly is, absolutely, yep.
Ed, the question on my mind today is something I heard you say one time when we were working together with a specific case, and you said about this woman you were seeing that you were content to expose her mythology. And I had to take that and kind of chew on that and think about that. And I would love to hear your thoughts on that. What does it mean to expose someone's mythology, and why might you be content to do that?
Okay, well, a couple of thoughts on that. One is I have no idea what you're talking about because I may have said that, but I don't remember having said it. But it sounds good. I can give you some thoughts on it. I'm assuming that all of us live out of this system, out of this you know, our own particular church. In our own heads and hearts, is not quite as good as Scripture. Okay? And we're always growing. Scripture is always refining us. For example, here's my own mythology, just a little bit of the mythology that I'm aware of.
This is being recorded, you know, right?
Oh, okay. Let me give different a mythology. They won't be quite as indicting. Emmanuel, okay? Emmanuel is one of the great promises of Scripture, God with us. And the cross of Christ has assured that because sin's the only thing that could separate us from the Lord, and our sin has been dealt with in Christ. So I believe that. But I live out of a mythology, and sometimes I think I hear people talking about, okay, you have a theology, but you also have a functional theology. I think I'm probably trying to get at the same thing. And my functional theology, my mythology, is that Emmanuel, God is with me, except in at least two places. One is, he's not with me whenever I move into a court. You know, if I ever have anything to do with the justice system, God is not there. And the way I know that is because I am nervous as can be. You know, whatever the situation is, I feel like I'm on my own and I'm going to be grilled by whoever the attorney is and everything's going to go horrible. So my anxieties, I think, reveal a certain mythology. The other place where my mythology kicks in is Emmanuel, God with us, working things together for good, except when we are driving our car. Then we're completely on our own. And where there's anxiety in a court system, there can be a little bit of frustration on the road. That's how I recognize my own mythology. So our stated theology, the way we live, it's not as close to Scripture as we realize. And here's just a couple things I've heard over the last week. Am I getting to what you're after, Alistair?
Absolutely, yeah.
I'm going to ask you for your mythology pretty soon, but I'll give you a chance to think about it.
I'll get my alibi together as we go.
That'll be for another time. Here's one. I'm only human. I'm only human. Now, if a person says that, I'm thinking a few different things. One is, I'm probably saying things that they're not agreeing with. And that's a very important issue, because we want to be walking along with someone. So that's one issue. But the other issue is, chances are we are talking about something that is hard. like loving enemies, okay? Especially when the enemies might be in our own household. Look, I'm only human. I'm only human. Well, that is one of the grand mythologies. And I do find that one of the benefits of I think, becoming older is hopefully there's a humility with a confidence. And so I do find myself just saying something like, hold it. Did you hear what you just said? You're only human? You're merely human? Well, that is just an utter... That is an abomination, what you just said. That is an utter lie. Okay, that's a little bit stronger than mythology. Mythology seems to be too weak to capture that. We're only human. We are people who have the Spirit of the living God. The Spirit of the living God that raises the very dead. Okay? And this is the one who works in us. And we are only human? There's absolutely no way. Now, it's also possible that I didn't capture what was important to the person, but that would be one example of a mythology. I'm only human. How can, I'm not Jesus. Jesus may do that, but I can't do those kinds of things. We must think we're Old Testament folks who the Spirit was sort of, came temporarily in unique settings, but now we have the Spirit who is with us, and not only is He with us, but we can pray for more of the Spirit. So anyway, that's just one mythology that I've seen over the past week. I can think of others.
Well, Ed, let me take it a slightly different direction and another step. Then, again, in your in the myth I created at the beginning, where you actually said those words to me, that you may or may not want to confirm. You said you were content to expose someone's mythology, and I understood that at the time to mean, and still makes sense, that you were saying, I didn't need to do anything else.
What I needed
to do with this one was simply to expose her mythology. I was content merely to expose her mythology. Now, from what you've just said, I would think many might respond and say, Edward, we're totally with you. We can see the value of mythology and capturing that. Seems like the last thing you would want to be was content to expose it. You'd want to come in and shred it to pieces and build a different structure. What are you getting at when maybe I'm just putting words in your mouth here, and you're welcome to tell me that that's not what you want to say, but content to expose someone's mythology, do you know what that is about?
I think you're raising another issue. One is the mythology issue. The other is I think I find as a counselor, there are times where I assume that they're just like me, and if I was in their situation, this is where I would be able to go with it. And sometimes that's true, but sometimes it's not true. And one of the skills that I think I am growing in is how can we be elated with a small step in the right direction? Okay, a small step. So I suspect that that's what I was thinking, that simply to say, okay, here's what you're thinking, and I'll use another mythology that I've seen recently. Here's what you keep coming back to. You keep using this phrase, when is the other shoe going to drop? When is the other shoe going to drop? What you're saying is that God is just waiting to trip you up. He's on the edge of his throne, just waiting to dump something else on you. As soon as you make the smallest miscalculation, the smallest mistake, and I think for someone who has lived out of the other, when's the other shoe going to drop for the last 15 years, just to say, there might be an alternative. Let's consider this as the possible alternative. Well, he is not a God who is waiting for the other shoe to drop. In fact, he seems to have an especially unique affection for those who are going through the hardships that you're talking about. And so I can imagine being temporarily wonderfully content just to say, okay, the Scripture opens our eyes to something new and different, and that's a great small step. It's not our only step, but it's a great small step, and that's all we're going to do today. And maybe next time we get together, and maybe the next time we get together.
And that's really helpful. Would it be a fair summary to say that, at least in the sort of smaller moment we're talking about here, that you'd be content to expose someone's mythology in that, first off, you're angling for them to actually hear what they are saying, to hear, this is what I'm living out of.
Sometimes,
and secondly,
sometimes when somebody actually says what we're saying, says, "Whoa, did I say that?" So good. Yeah, I think that's very helpful to point that out. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, and the second I think is pretty much where you're saying there, which is that sometimes when you hear it aloud, you're angling also that someone would understand this is a mythology.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're not, again, it's not a rebuke so much as I want you to see that this story you are living out of. It doesn't actually come off of the pages of Scripture, which I think I get the sense, especially with this other shoe is going to drop from God kind of perspective, people think they are living very directly from the pages of Scripture.
Right.
And you're actually offering them a gift that what they're dealing with is a mythology rather than a reality.
Yeah, it's
is
interesting.
That fair?
It's interesting the way you put it. Is it a rebuke because they're not living under Scripture? I guess I think you're right. I think about it as much more a hope. Okay, look at this. This is the way you're living, and as we understand Scripture, that's not the way it is. That's not who our God is. There is something in front of us that is so helpful and so rich here. That's the way I'm thinking of it. Think about it more in terms of this wonderful vision.
Well, Ed, I think that's a great note for us to leave it on. Thank you for coming in.
Oh, thanks, Alistair. Always good to talk with you.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about CCEF and its resources, visit us on the web at ccef.org.